Hey, we just wanted to give you a heads up before you listen to this next program, because today's conversation on family life covers some pretty sensitive but really important subjects that may not be suitable for younger ears. So just use some discretion when listening to this next broadcast.
And let me add this. And if you do listen with your kids, talk about it after with them.
Right. This is an important conversation to have with maybe older kids, just depending on what you're thinking. But we just wanted to give you a heads up.
We just tried to make it not weird to talk about real things from an early age.
And thankfully, they do bring us some questions. There's been times where Dave has to grab my arms to wipe the shock off my face. Because I'm like, what?
Just be shocked later.
You know, not right now. He's just like, this is what we want.
Be curious. But not freaking out in front of your kids is huge.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Dave Wilson.
And I'm Ann Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today.
So we have Dave and Ashley Willis, and it's a joy to have you here. We watch you, we watch your videos.
We follow you.
And follow your life, and it's fun when you get to come to Orlando and get to sit here.
We love hanging out with you guys.
Oh, we do. It's a real treat. Yeah.
And
it really is.
It's fun because we're all passionate about Jesus, but marriage is something that, man, it beats in our blood, and we want people to have better marriages, better families. So we have a lot in common that way. So what are we doing today?
We're going to talk about different things. First of all, Dave, you wrote a book, Raising Boys Who Respect Girls. So my first question is this. Ashley, you tell us, how does Dave respect you?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, so many ways. I think he always tries to give me his best attention and listens well to me. I feel like he shows our boys how to respect me by how he treats me every day and just showing me respect in his time, in his words, in his eyes. I think that he celebrates me well, and it trickles down to our boys. And so I feel like our boys wouldn't have as much respect for me as they do if you didn't teach them that just through your example, because you do such a great job of that.
Well, she is very easy to respect, first off. I mean, so I have it easy in that department because I'm married to the best person. But it's important for you dads who are listening. Our kids are watching you. You know, our example as fathers. I had somebody tell me when I was a young father, you're teaching your sons how to respect women, and you're teaching your daughters what they should expect from men someday by your example, by the way you're treating your spouse. And so that really stuck with me. And I thought, man, and we never had daughters, but with my sons, I want to model that. I want them to catch that. If they don't catch much else for me, I want them to at least catch that. But they have such an amazing mom. Mm. You know, she is very easy to respect.
Dave, did that always come naturally?
I think that it came naturally and that I had a great mom myself.
Mm. Her name is Karen, and she is
still
amazing.
Do. I say it not past tense. I still have a great mom. Mom, if you're listening, you're
and
the best.
And a great dad.
And a great dad. They're the best. I will say something that kind of temporarily sabotaged my thinking is when I was a teenager into young adulthood, I got into pornography, which is part of our testimony, my testimony that we've talked a lot about. And that whole mindset shift of just having those toxic, objectifying images in my brain really sabotaged me for a time in how I saw myself and how I saw women and how I saw sex.
What did that look like?
Well,
how did it affect how you saw yourself?
No sin ever stays in the little compartment you build for it, right? So if you think, well, this is just an escape or this is just entertainment. It's not hurting anybody. All the lies that we believe, but it's insidious, you know? It's like a cancerous tumor that metastasizes. It breaks open and it starts affecting all these other things. And so in terms of how I saw myself, like I started having less respect for myself because I was wrapped up in this thing that I knew to be wrong. I wasn't taking steps to get help from it.
A secret?
It was a secret
for a long time.
And you were married?
I started when I was unmarried, but I fell back into it in our newlywed years. And then I dealt with the shame of that. I knew Jesus said to look with lust is to commit adultery in your heart. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm being unfaithful. And I hated myself for it. There was a lot of self-loathing, but there's a verse in the Proverbs that says, like a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool will repeat his foolishness. I was that dog. I would return to the gross thing, knowing it's gross, but it's like I just couldn't break out of that cycle. And
so
while
that probably created shame.
It did. Mm-hmm. It created shame. And as much as I would say I respected Ashley even through that, I don't know that at that point in my life I was fully respecting anybody because just my whole mindset had been devalued. And so as a result, I was devaluing myself, devaluing others. And it was just a negative place to be. And so I think part of getting to a place of respect and just living the way God wants us to live is renewing our minds from just the junk that impacts our relationships from our own, the homes we grew up in and maybe toxic behaviors we saw there or words that were spoken to us when we were kids that have shaped our thinking about ourselves in unhealthy ways or past relationships we've had or just flawed messages we see from culture. I mean, there's a billion different ways to get the wrong message. But when we go back to God's word and allow his word to really renew our mind and to bring hope and healing and renewal and grace, then we can start seeing ourselves the way he sees us and we can start seeing other people through his eyes. The more we do that, the more we're going to respect each other because God has so much respect for people. He created us in his image for his glory. And so when you're objectifying another person or disrespecting another person, you're really disrespecting God who created them in his image. And so understanding that, I think just that principle can help all of us respect ourselves, respect the opposite sex, and see humanity the way God wants us to.
I mean, talk us through the struggle. Because I know there's couples listening right now.
Yeah.
Some of them just went, uh-oh. I have a secret. They're talking about it. I don't even know if I'm going to tell her or tell him.
And maybe the wife is suspecting.
Yeah, so how did you guys navigate? I mean, number one, you're talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We're from a generation where you couldn't even mention that. And now we have marriage authors, leaders saying this was a struggle. Mm-hmm. That a lot of people just said, I remember the first time I mentioned it at my church in the 90s. I didn't tell my co-founder I was going to share this with the church that I had a struggle. And I remember as I said that, I thought
and it was past tense.
Yeah, it was past tense, but I was like trying to say, this has been something I had to walk through. I remember having the thought I might get fired today.
Yeah.
Because a leader shouldn't have this struggle. And I'm not only saying I had it, I'm going to talk about it publicly. And as I walked off the stage, Steve looked at me and said, you just changed our church. And I'm like, uh-oh, am I fired? And he's like, no, this is now going to be a church where people can be honest and real. Yeah. So you've gone the same route. You said, we're going
to
talk about
this. Well, he has to be honest and real. Yeah. And God blesses that. I mean, he blessed your church. Your church saw explosive growth after
it
that.
It became a place where people felt like they could be safe. But it was a hard thing in our marriage.
Horrible.
Because I wanted to keep it like my private struggle. I'm going to win this thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to battle it. And she's not going to need to know because I'm going to win. And then I'd fall. And it couldn't be a secret anymore. So how did it go for you guys?
Oh, man. Well, you know, Dave always likes to say that he wished that he had just come out with it, like, because he dealt with this for so long in the early years of our marriage. And I think as spouses, we often know something's off, but we don't always know what it is. And I remember for a while thinking something's off here, because one of the things that attracted me to Dave the most the first time I met him was he had what I referred to as honest eyes. And I just said, when I look at you, I feel like you're totally looking back at me and you're not hiding anything. And I just found that, I mean, I clearly was attracted to you physically, but my heart was attracted to you with the honesty.
Yeah.
Right. I felt security and safety.
I mean, when she said that, Dave, did you feel like they're not honest because I have this struggle?
Well, I think at the time we were first getting together, I wasn't looking. And so I would have these kind of little stints of sobriety with it. And I thought, okay, well, I'm free from that. That's part of my past. And I don't need to tell her, which was my first mistake, not telling her it had even been part of my past struggle. But in those, you know, early years of our dating, if I'm remembering right, I think I was free from it. So there was an honesty, you know, I mean, I was being honest. But then when I fell back into it, which even took me by surprise, I was hiding in shame. And Ashley, who's very perceptive, knew something was off and we were living in that tension.
And I would even say sometimes, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm fine. Work is crazy. You know
exactly
what I'm saying?
Our conversation.
I mean, you feel it.
You
Something's
feel
off.
It.
I remember saying the same thing. Like, is something up? Like, I just feel like a separation from us.
Yes. A distance. Yes. Right.
Yeah.
And he would be so concerned. And I would see it now that I've been married to him almost 25 years. I know I think I could read him like a book. Right. But you know, we were still getting to know each other and all of our cues that we give. And Dave always says, till this day, he's like, one of my biggest regrets is not telling you that I had struggled with this before we got married, that this was part of my past.
Because then it would have been on your radar.
Yes. Yeah. And I could have been like, just be honest with me. And then we could have dealt with it, right? But he had built up so much shame because he not only had not told me about the past struggle, he now was back in that struggle. And every time he said he just did not have the courage to tell me, and he wished that he had.
I didn't want to disappoint you. Right. I didn't want to be seen as a failure or weak or any of these things. And so whatever lies I was believing, it kept it in the dark until she just found it, you know, on this was...
I wasn't looking for it.
This was before smartphones even. Like, this was old school, like on a old clunky desktop computer. She found these terrible places where I'd been looking. And so then all at once it's brought out into the open in a really drastic way. And she called and said, is there something you need to tell me? I knew, and I was heartbroken and relieved at the same time. And I said, you found it, you know, and I'm so sorry. And that put us on the path to healing. But even the path to healing was messy. I mean, it was so deeply ingrained in my mind. I know there was at least one relapse that I had, which just brought the same shame cycle all over again. And it was messy. Rebuilding trust takes time. You know, I've heard it said, trust is built in drops and lost in buckets. And I dumped out a bucket load of trust all at once. She was so full of grace, though, even in her woundedness, to walk with me and allow me to rebuild that trust over time. And for us to put safeguards in place to just make sure, you know, through filtering software and accountability and all the things that came with it, that we would have a household of honesty and transparency. And as our boys, you know, started coming along, it kind of gave us a foundation for knowing we want to raise them in a way where we're honest about these things. They're in a world where they're going to be bombarded with all the wrong kinds of images. And we don't want any of that to take root in them or shame to take root in them when they do stumble. But we're going to start having conversations.
Yeah. How'd that look like with your boys? I mean, did you share your struggle as a dad with your sons when they got to a certain age?
Yeah, I mean, in age-specific ways, we've tried to be completely honest. And with just by nature what we do, like we talk so openly about this stuff.
You don't have a choice.
I don't have a choice, exactly.
Because it's like— your ministry used to be called Naked Marriage.
Right, yeah.
Exactly.
Right? And
it's like,
thought,
Dad, you were talking about this on stage an hour ago. You can't pretend like this didn't happen. So that keeps me honest, what we do. Kind of keeps me honest.
What is age appropriate, you guys, to have those conversations of your own past? What do you think?
Gosh, I think it depends in some ways on the child. I don't know if it's like you hit this age, you know, tell them everything on their 12th birthday. I don't think it's like that. I think you have to have discretion about like the level of detail.
Yeah.
I think you can give them principles of, you know, I made mistakes in this area. And then as they get older and maybe their temptations get more specific, then you can get more specific in kind of what your past struggles were, what happened as a result of the right choices and the wrong choices you made. And we tried to be honest about both, about like, you know, and here's a time when I overcame temptation and it was a victory story, but they learn even more from the times you say, man, I blew it in this area and this is what that looked like. And this is what I felt. And this is the shame I was carrying. And we just tried to make it not weird to talk about real things from an early age. We would talk about their anatomy in, you know, like, oh, God made you a boy, you know, that's great. We use specific words for their anatomy and say, and that's great. You're going to be a man someday and be able to be a dad. And it's not, your anatomy is never dirty. There's never any of that. It's private, sure. And you know, people aren't allowed to touch you there, sure. And you tell us if there's anybody that ever tries to violate that, but not creating atmospheres where they would feel like they had to live in secrecy or shame as they started having, you know, these feelings about puberty and all that. So I think that's how it started.
By the way, I just put in a little call to action right now. You guys have just done For Family Life, a How to Talk to Your Kids About Sex video series.
It's a new curriculum.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
I'm so excited about this resource.
I think
the team at Family Life did a stellar job. We got to partner with an amazing team to put together this resource. So we're the ones teaching on it, but it was a team effort putting together this curriculum. And I think it's some of the most helpful, practical resources I've seen anywhere, again, because the team put so much into it, to help parents, guide parents in age-specific ways to have these conversations with boys and girls. It's
not for both.
Just for sons.
Oh, it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. And by the way, just go to familylife.com/sextalk and you get Dave and Ashley talking about probably some of the stuff you just said.
We talk about all of it.
Mm-hmm. And it's called How to Talk to Your Kids About Sex.
That's right.
That's right.
It's a very specific title because we wanted to be there. No mistake about what this was.
That's right. Because I think it gets intimidating for us as parents, especially like with your question, like how did you or did you even approach the fact that porn is part of his past, you know, with our kids. And I think it's really important to know that there's no perfect parents out there with a perfect past, right? And so we have to, you know, come at this knowing that we're not perfect. Our kids already know that, my goodness, probably more than anybody. And so to be real with them, to be authentic with them at an age appropriate level, it gives them that safe place to come back with questions because it's not just one sex talk. It's a multitude of talks, right? Over the course of time. And like Dave said, it gets more detailed as they get a bit older and have those questions. But I feel like, you know, we knew back then when we had little kids that we would need to talk to them about this part of our marriage. And when the time came, we really talked about it as a couple, like, what do we want to share? And what can we teach them from this? And we've been able to do that with each of our kids and put those safeguards in place as well that we still have till this day. And I would even say this specifically as it comes to, you know, with Dave having this past struggle, you know, how did he try to course correct and then respect me as a woman? One of the greatest things he did was really pay attention to where his eyes would go. And I think this is something like even in the counseling space, this is something I often hear from wives, not just with husbands with a porn struggle, but just husbands who have trouble with where their eyes go. It is so crushing to a wife when they feel like they have to monitor their husband's eyes and they can't trust that he's not going to look twice. Because here's the deal. Like
linger on an Instagram picture a little too long that's maybe a little provocative or, sorry to interrupt, but there's just so many different ways that a guy can.
And it's crushing to a woman because we already feel insecure.
Exactly. And the deal is like, we can't control if an attractive person pops up on our screen, walks by our house, we see them at, you know, out at a restaurant or whatever. There's beautiful people everywhere, right? We can notice them, but we get to choose whether or not we keep staring or we keep looking or we start lusting over them. And so I just remember back in those days, especially, I never really felt like I had to pay attention to that with Dave, but after that was definitely on my mind, like, well, what else is he looking at? Because it makes you doubt everything. And I just remember he would go out of his way just to avoid situations where it would be like super tempting, like gyms. Like we at one point changed our gym because we just didn't want it to be a temptation. Like instead of going to the amazing popular gym in town, we went to the YMCA.
Yeah.
You know,
which I loved because the average age there was about 94.
It really was.
Long t-shirt.
Yeah. This is true. And this is true.
Better about yourself.
I felt so much better about
confidence
myself.
Confidence boost, you know.
I did. I made all kinds of friends. I'd walk around drinking coffee for the first hour. I did. And then when I finally started working out, I'd be like, I am strong. Look at this. I got like 10-pound dumbbells, but I felt like Arnold Schwarzenegger. So,
guys, and some couples hearing they're like, this is ridiculous.
Oh, I'm sure they think that.
And yet. Ashley, what did that mean to you?
It meant the world. It meant that I'm a higher priority. And I mean, honestly, I wasn't going to that gym thinking, oh, he's looking. But Dave was like, you know, sweetie, he goes, I just think we need to go to the Y where it's not even a thing. Because there would just be a lot of like scantily dressed women there.
Men and women.
Men
that
too,
really. Were wearing things to be noticed.
They want you to look.
They want you to look.
Dressed that way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Think about what you're also, I mean, your kids are probably little then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if they're old enough to watch what's happening, you are showing your sons, this is how you respect your wife.
Yeah.
Right. You had that
change where you work out.
And told them that?
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
I've told my older boys, you know, and they got into gyms and I would say, yeah, like I used to go there and this is why I stopped. And now we just have some weights at home and that's so now it's great. You just work out at home. But I've talked to them about that. I said, because everywhere I looked, it felt like an unsafe place to look in that place.
I remember we shared this before, but when I was walking through a mall in Atlanta, Georgia, actually Dalton, Georgia.
Yes.
You know where that is. That's where her parents lived.
Nice.
And so it's me with the three boys. And I'm guessing my oldest was maybe 11. So 11, 9, 6. And they're in front of me, right? And I walk in and I see in the middle of this mall, not in a store, but there's this little magazine rack. And it was like low to the ground. And there's a Sports Illustrated swimsuit. It's some kind of swimsuit issue. And I'm literally looking at my boys to see if they notice it. Mm-hmm. And I noticed my older son saw it. The other two, too young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He didn't even know. So I grabbed this, and CJ's giving me permission to say this, but I grabbed him. I think he's 11. And he was, hit maturity early. So he looks like he's like 13, 14. Mm-hmm. And I go, hey, CJ, did you see that magazine rack up there? He goes, no, no, I didn't see it. I go, I did. He goes, oh, well, yeah, I saw it. I go, and I'll never forget. I'm down, you know, at his level. And the other two boys are running around. I go, hey, did you want to look at that girl in her bathing suit? She goes, oh, no, I didn't want to look. I go, well, I wanted to look. He goes, well, yeah, I wanted to look. And I go, yeah. So did you look? He goes, no, I didn't look. I go, yeah, I saw you. You looked. And so all I did was go, hey, that's normal. Mm-hmm. She's a very beautiful woman. She's right on this cover. That's normal. You're going on a good look. But you know what I do, CJ? I don't have eyes for anybody but your mom. Right. And so when I see that kind of thing, I turn. I go, let's make a pact.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget. It was one of those moments like, we are in this together.
Right.
That's a great.
You know, about sex was not really, it was an intentional
moment. It's a
great moment. The other boys weren't there yet.
Right.
That day will come. But man, that was like a moment to respect
so good
women.
And he'll never forget that. That's what the whole point of this book is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the whole point of our video course is looking for those moments to just lead by example and make it a teachable moment without putting shame on them.
Right.
Yeah. To say, listen, it's normal. It's natural that you're going to notice. Yeah. You're going to have these feelings. You're going to be drawn. There's not shame in that, but it's what we do with those feelings, realizing God has a time and a place within marriage someday for all of that to be expressed in a beautiful and healthy way. But until then, any expression of that is going to be a counterfeit on some level that's going to hurt you and others. Mm-hmm. But don't feel bad that you have these feelings. That's just, it means you're becoming an adult. Mm-hmm. And so you can celebrate their growth at the same time while teaching.
With safeguards,
right, which you did. Right. And that's a great example.
When we talk about, like, and you talk about in this book, the locker room mentality, what is that? Is this what we're talking about?
Yeah. Well, the locker room mentality, and
be careful. I've been in a lot of
I wasn't as athletic as this Dave, so I didn't have as many locker rooms. I have been in locker rooms. I think though, what I'm referring to is just when guys get in guy only spaces, how, and it doesn't have to be an actual locker room, but the mentality there, when guys can get in guy only spaces and the jokes all of a sudden can become degrading to women, or the talk can become like overly sexualized, the bravado, or we're trying to project. And it doesn't, we don't outgrow it. I was at a gym, you know, like not that long ago, again, like an older person gym, that's where I hang. And there were two guys in there. They both had to be in their 70s and they were talking together about porn, like, you know, you would just talk about cars or sports or whatever.
Like, have you seen the latest movie?
It was just such a natural, and I just kind of sat there as like a fly on the wall for a while and thought, you know what, without intentionality, we never outgrow sin.
Right.
You never outgrow, you know, just sexual sin or lust or that mindset that disrespects women, that objectifies. And so it's not just a thing of like, well, we got to teach our kids because when they're teenagers, this will be a temptation, but then they'll outgrow it and it won't be a thing. No, without Christ changing your heart and renewing your mind, and without being intentional of saying, I don't want to live that way, then we're all going to be the old guy at the gym someday that's still creepy, you know, that's still, and it was
that
like,
it is creepy.
I mean, it is.
Yeah.
It was so normal. That's what, I think that's what surprised David.
It wasn't
most.
Like, oh, I'm struggling with this.
It's, no.
It was just like,
This is normal.
This is what men do.
This is what men do and men talk about.
Scary.
Yeah.
And it's making so little of men. Yes. And it's holding them to such a low standard if that's normal.
And it's keeping them captive.
Yes.
And it's affecting their future relationships with every single woman.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And the same is happening with women where it's become so normalized and that, it's okay for women to look at it too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's empowering even, they say.
Exactly. Yep. And that's affecting our futures. And we all know, because we've been married a while, this really—
We've been married a little longer than you guys.
I know.
It really affects your marriage relationship and your legacy.
Sure it does.
That's sad to me.
Mm-hmm.
It was sad to me. Yeah.
It is.
Before we're done today, let me just say this. We meet a ton of couples who say family life helped them when they needed it the most. And that's what being a family life partner is all about, helping others find that same encouragement and tools that you found right here.
And we'd love for you to join us. So click the donate button at familylifetoday.com and become a partner today.
There's nothing like having Dave and Ashley Willis in the studio.
I love them.
They're like our soulmates. I just love their hearts for Jesus and their hearts for helping men respect women. This is good stuff.
And again, you can get their book. Go to familylifetoday.com. Click the link in the show notes. And again, the book is called Raising Boys Who Respect Girls.
Yeah, we got them back tomorrow. So it's going to be a good day.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported ministry of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.